This is Audience of One, and I'm your host, Spencer Keir. This podcast is a venue and excuse for me to explore my curiosity through Combo's leading thinkers and builders. My guest today is Isabel. Isabel is a writer, both on Twitter and through her MindMind Substack newsletter, both of which are in the show notes. In this episode, Isabel and I talk about building your intuition muscle, being rational versus gut-led, vulnerability, the importance of humility, and more. Please enjoy. Well, I always like to start by having the guests give an overview of their background and journey for context. So who is Isabel?
So I guess I'll start as early as I can. I was always kind of like more type A focused, high achieving, like very studious. I used to do competitive gymnastics, like really just kind of like a get to it and get the work done type of person. And that kind of culminated in me doing engineering for my degree. And again, that wasn't like so gut led as much as it was like I could do math and sciences, so might as well. And then midway through my engineering degree, I was like, oh, it's actually kind of hard to just do well at school and like put my head down and get it done. Like I actually seem to be having interests that are taking me away from just wanting to do what needs to be done. And that's actually when I started writing. So I started like a WordPress blog, like very what you would do when you're 17. And, you know, you heard Naval say, like, if you can code, start coding. If you can write, start a blog. And I was like, well, I guess I'm just starting a blog because I can't code. Anyway, yeah, so I started writing online and I was just writing about kind of like my experiences, my thoughts, like what it means to grow up, choose your path. Very like early iterations, honestly, of like basically what I write about now, which is kind of like understanding yourself and creating through the process of becoming. But again, I was still like pretty deep into my engineering degree and decided to finish it, even though I had other interests. Ended up doing some internships, one in venture capital, one in startups, one in like sort of an entrepreneurship program. I just felt like if I'm not going to do engineering, this seems like a really interesting bridge between, you know, interpersonal human to human connection and also like this quantitative, logical, execution oriented side that I have and like playing with. So I ended up taking a job in venture capital after I graduated, and I was doing that for about 2 years. And midway through that, I kind of like had my thirst for writing and creativity be awakened again and started playing with it online. Like that's when I really started using Twitter and started writing on Substack. And then I was just like, I think this is really what I want to do. So I might as well just try. I had this like vision of what like my dream life would be one day. And I was like, oh, I'll go to cafes and I'll write and I'll read and I'll think and I'll just like really like be thoughtful and think about how to do life well and try and share that with other people. Like I really do feel like on some very deep level, I felt like that was something that I could be uniquely well suited for just based on where my interest took me, what I liked reading and consuming and what I liked creating. And then I had this moment of realizing, well, I actually am like really not tracking there at all. Like in terms of like my current life trajectory, there's very like a small part of the cone of possibilities that would put me in that end state. So I was basically like, okay, if this is what I really want, I should try it out. And yeah, just like position myself to like maybe come into that by something other than just like pure chance. So that kind of led me to basically quit my job and start focusing on writing and creating words and content around kind of those topics as my sole focus.
Was there a particular or like singular moment where you said the future or the near future I want for myself is incompatible with what I'm doing now? Or was it a gradual process that finally culminated? I'm curious about that transition and what it looked like.
Yes, I think it was, I was traveling in Europe in the summer. And honestly, I just got to like flirt with that lifestyle a lot more than I ever had. where I was like, oh, here's like actually a sequence of unbroken days, kind of untethered from my life back home, where I'm able to just like do the thing I feel most compelled to do, which is like sit here and think and talk to people and write and like see what I can make doing that. And I was just like, this feels so right. This feels so different from my everyday back home. And then, yeah, the thought started to percolate of like, okay, wait, well, that seems like a pretty problematic asymmetry because I want to be tracking like in this direction. That feels very good. So yeah, it was honestly kind of like having a little bit more unbroken time to like even like a matter of like a few days a week of just being able to say, this feels really good, really different. And yeah, this also feels pretty incompatible with like what I'm doing.
From what I've read or from your writing, one of the big decisions or turning points for you was when you made this realization that you had been acting a lot with your, what you called like the masculine side of you, this logic or reasoning side of you. And instead you wanted to operate more from and use more of a, more as of a compass, your intuition or gut side. And I think you had this line that was like, you wanted to follow intuition at all costs. I don't want to speculate, but I imagine you have the financial means to do that. For those, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but for those who don't have the financial means but are feeling that sense of like, I want to follow my gut, how do they balance what's practical with following their intuition?
Well, to be fully honest, like I had built up like a little bit of runway, but I actually like didn't plan to do it when I did it. Like I was like, okay, I'm actually gonna like, you know, try and find a balance for a while. And I was finding a balance, I guess. But ultimately the decision wasn't like hyper practical. It was like, it wasn't like completely like zero sense. Like I, again, had a little bit of a cushion to lead with my intuition. But if I was leading with my rational mind, I wouldn't have made the decision when I made it. So it was a combination. Like I obviously wasn't like putting myself in a spiral of like fear and anxiety that wasn't even going to let me do my thing. But I also wasn't like waiting for this perfect moment. Like I literally was just like, there's no perfect moment. There's always going to be a reason not to do this. And I was just like, it feels so pressingly urgent and potent in my mind right now that I just don't think I'll be able to look back and feel proud of myself if I don't listen to this. And I will say that it took me about, like in hindsight, I would say it took me about a year to follow my intuition. Like I wouldn't say a year before I made the decision, I knew I was going to make it, but I started having like buds of how's this going to track to my dream life? I really want to start writing more. I feel like I'm in a creative drought. Let me start doing that. And then like basically a year before I actually made the decision, I started writing. I started developing my practice more seriously. I did write a passage, like writing David Perel's writing course. I was like taking the idea of creative pursuits much more seriously. And it was sort of like this slow building of trust in my intuition where things that I was choosing seemed to be working out when I was following like my gut. But honestly, like, as I mentioned, like my childhood, all my studies, like everything was very logical, very rational. And I really identified with that. Like I really identified with just being this like rational mind and really, you know, more gifted in like the masculine fields than the feminine. Like I had a creative side, but I would never have called myself like a creative in the first like basically until 6 months ago. So I guess all that to say, I think following your intuition starts small and it's about like literally like the smallest of voices and impulses. And I don't want to say impulses because I think there's a distinction between impulse and intuition, but the smallest signals you get from yourself following them, like talking to the person that you find interesting on the street, or like calling that friend you haven't spoken to a while, but like you just got this thought to call them, or like just little things like going to this restaurant and then you don't really know why you feel so compelled, but like you do. I just really do believe in this kind of like compounding effect of listening to that signal. And this is something that has continued to prove to be true. I mean, obviously there's a line, like my signal's not putting me in danger. It's not putting others in danger. Like there's a point where your rational mind needs to like, you know, keep you in check. But overall, I think we super undervalue intuition, which is really just like on like knowledge that was so valuable that it was just basically like embedded into our unconscious on some level. So yeah, I do think we are in a bit of a period of like undervaluing intuitive knowledge and inclination. But yeah, just start small. It doesn't need to be like quitting your job or, you know, running away right, or moving to a different city.
I've been trying to lean more into and listen more to my intuition lately, and have found a similar thing, that it starts small and it's a muscle like any other that atrophies if you don't use it. Exactly. And so you have to flex it and work it out till you can build up to those bigger decisions, like in your case, leaving your job. Have you found that there are any downsides or drawbacks to following your intuition too much? I know you talked about balancing somewhat. I'm not sure what the split looks like, 80-20 intuition, practical, but are there any downsides to over following your intuition?
You know, it's an interesting question. First of all, it's hard for me to say, like, I'm in the middle of some journey. Like, I really don't know where things are leading, which is why I'm hesitant to answer, right? Because it's like, sometimes in the moment, it can seem like you just made a mistake or something went wrong. But like, in hindsight, all of those things seem to lead somewhere good. Like, given that you're happy with your life in the moment, like, this moment is great. I'm speaking to you. This is a wonderful conversation. I feel like good about a lot of things in my life. Any intuitive choice that would have appeared like a misstep in the moment ultimately led me to this moment. So it's hard to say like there's real downsides to it, as long as, again, like it's not putting you in like truly objective danger. But again, I don't even think that it would, because like, I don't think that that's what you're, I mean, assuming everything's good and like you're healthy and aligned, I don't think your intuition would put you in those positions.
I've almost been thinking about intuition as like a primal intuition that's like kind of our physical needs and such. That's where the safety or security would fall into. And then there's more of like the intellectual, creative intuition. And so I think one of those is going to operate in these cases where you might, or the primal one is going to operate in these cases where you might have, you know, physical fear-based concerns or like existential concerns. So I think I'd agree with you, but continue.
Yeah, it's almost like path. Like high level path led intuition impulses versus like, I need water. That's exactly. What you do, like whatever. So, yeah, it's hard to answer, but I generally think like most of the ways we mess up intuition is like trying to intellectualize it too much. I do think there are times for like rational minded choices, and I am finding that balance too. Like sometimes you actually just do need to put on your logical hat and just like think through something that literally demands like rationality and thinking and isn't just, you know, like an intuitive vibe it out situation. But I think for like the high level choices, like where you want to put yourself, what do you want to be doing? Like, how do you want to spend your time? Those things really, for the most part, should at least be largely consulted with our intuition. Because if you just followed a rational mechanism to figure that out, I mean, you would just be like this output of like a program that like really anyone could be. Like if you only followed some sort of rational objective set of heuristics to decide what you should do and what decisions you should make, then like, I don't know, I think you lose the uniqueness of the self. Like that's the whole wisdom embedded in the intuition, is understanding you and what you're uniquely gifted at, capable of, inclined towards. And rationality really can't replace that, because it's not really customized to you in the way that intuition is.
There's an interesting element of intuition you just alluded to there that I hadn't thought about before, which is intuition seems to be, and I'm very much speculating here. I don't have any like studies to back this up, but intuition seems to have both these kind of DNA or like programmed aspects to it, like it's passed down through generations. Maybe that's like the primal intuition I was talking about. But then there are these unique and specialized elements of intuition for each individual. And yet those are no less, those are less tried, but are no less true in a way. And yes. I'm wondering where that comes from, if that hasn't been battle tested yet. But you make it your guiding compass. You see kind of like the paradox in there.
Well, I think actually that's one of the hardest things about intuition for people to deal with is the lack of evidence that supports it. Which makes sense, I think. Like, I don't think we're trained to trust, in general, things that don't make quote-unquote sense. So that's the leap of faith that you are basically embarking on when you trust your intuition. You're just like, feels right, and I don't necessarily know exactly why or where it's going to lead. But I like just posted this tweet the other day that was like, everyone's like most epic life story seems traced back to like one gut feeling that made no rational sense, but just felt right in the moment. And I've just been noticing that theme everywhere. Like all these really brilliant, like successful people who like seem to quote unquote have it all figured out, or like even have these like very hyper optimized lives, largely like it all traces back to some like intuition or intuitive choice that they made. And mm-hmm. still make. That's not like a universally true thing. Like, obviously, everyone has their own stories. It's just a pattern I've noticed in like the sample set that I seem to have been exposed to. And it was just this like really helpful reminder of like, you can't really like optimize yourself into the right path for you. You can optimize yourself into like a generally good path. Like, you can figure out how to hack the interviews and get the right job and like put yourself on this like kind of generic path that like society views as good. But if you want to find like your own personally maximally activated path, that comes from self-knowledge. Like, that literally comes from understanding yourself and what you value and what you want and what you're uniquely interested in. And yeah, that's just like an intuitive thing that you kind of develop a relationship with and a knowledge with. And to your point, like, it is trust and knowledge that is built. Like, you only get a louder signal from your intuition when you become more trusting of it and you listen to it more.
Yeah, by definition, the consensus path, the quote unquote rational path, when you're taking a ton of inputs from the external world, can only ever be kind of close to the mean. It's not going to be this like outlier journey that only comes from following your intuition closely. Intuition is one of these topics that you butt up against time and time again in your writing. And I think there's a few others. I'm curious what ones come to mind or you butt up against most frequently in your writing. What are those core kind of axioms or principles or themes where we could start with?
I think like
the
largest umbrella I would answer with is like humanity, like the human condition. I just feel like all these different concepts I unpack like trace back to some very like universal primal thing that like on some level we can all, or like most of us can relate to, like, you know, the desire to self-actualize, like understanding your potential, like following truth, openness, love, like friendship, really like understanding oneself seems to be like the theme most of the time, because really my writing is just like me trying to understand what's going on internally and leaving enough ambiguity in there for others to see themselves in it too, because I really do think that things that I'm experiencing really aren't all that unique. And that continues to like seem to be true in the responses that I get to what I write, because sometimes I'll think like, this is just so me and like personal and like no one's gonna get this and like I don't even know if I should post this, and then I'll post it and it'll have like the most resonance, because I really do believe like that which is most personal is most universal. And the reason that perhaps my writing resonates is because I'm willing to go like pretty deep, I guess, and be vulnerable because I don't know. I just think like I actually don't really think much of it. Like it just I don't even really like think of what exactly I'm doing when I put out my writing, like on such a cerebral level that like thousands of people can just like peer into my mind and you know, like understand my deepest thoughts. But I guess as a consequence of that, I'm talking about things that most people don't talk about openly or don't talk about even in their like everyday close relationships. So to see someone's level of like introspection in writing and to really be able to like sit with it and like plunder it on your own, I think is special for people because there's not always a lot of guidance on these like obscure things that we haven't really figured out in ourselves yet. And that is a theme that I've noticed is like, I don't write about things that I have figured out. I write about things that I'm figuring out. So, you know, I don't necessarily have these like crystallized like steps and truths and ways to, you know, overcome all these feelings. I'm just like, really, this is actually what I'm feeling and thinking about and going through and some observations I've made about it and patterns I've recognized and others. But yeah, we're all just kind of like figuring it out together. So that's why I would say like humanity and the human condition, because so much of it is still a mystery to me and I think all of us. And then beyond that, I think like the path of light is like kind of another overarching theme, I think, to my writing is like, how can I lead with openness, like an open heart and love, like be open to receiving and giving love and just trying to like serve good and like serve light in how I lead my life and not hold on to darkness and resentment and like, yeah, really just like view myself as a channel for trying to find a way to navigate life in like an open way, which I think, you know, my writing is part of serving them. It is, at least right now, like one of, I think, like the most open-hearted things I can do, which is just like, this is what I'm thinking about. Like, speak into it if you want. But yeah, I just think overall it's like being a human and trying to figure it out.
Yeah, I think that tracks the two kind of themes I had come up with as I was reading your work was self-realization, which is like, who am I? And then self-actualization, like, how do I put all of me out into the universe? And so I think that fits underneath this umbrella of the human condition, but then also fits with the path of light. One of the themes that you talk about time and time again, which you just alluded to, is this idea of openness and vulnerability. Is that symptomatic of awareness and following your intuition? And how have you cultivated that? I think that's a very difficult thing, but when you do it right, it does come out in your writing. You recognize the authenticity in the writer. But it's not an easy thing to do. Most people want to hold back. So how have you cultivated that?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Like, it's a great question. I just, like, it's all connected. It really is. Like, I think to hear your intuition and to follow your intuition, you need to be open to basically something that, like, doesn't necessarily make sense, quote unquote, sense in, like, your worldview and your mental model. Yeah, and then to follow that intuition despite it not making sense to others requires like a level of vulnerability and just like trust in yourself, because you're basically foregoing like the external validation you would get from making like a rational choice that everyone can wrap their head around. And yeah, just saying like, this is kind of like what makes sense for me and like what I need to do to like self-actualize, self-realize, which is like, it might not even be so clear. It's not like, this is my decision to like put myself on the path of self-actualization. But like, ultimately, I do think that is just like the cascading of choices that make sense to like you very deeply. And I think like a big thing about following your intuition is like being comfortable not making sense to others and like accepting that it probably won't. But it should make sense to you. Like, you should have some level of like understanding of why you're doing it, even if that's just like that deep impulse, like that deep signal you're getting from yourself. But yeah, I just think like openness, vulnerability, trust are kind of like core tenets of how to lead a life with love and like honestly of learning and being able to connect with others. Because I think you can't learn if you don't have like an open mind and an open heart, because again, you get into this like state of defensiveness, which is like pure mind and like no openness in like openness to being wrong, openness to just like learning something that literally like wouldn't initially make sense to you. Which is funny because it's like, obviously you would want to learn things that don't make sense to you because that's how you expand your worldview and like expand your understanding of what's possible. But there's something very deep in like our ego that wants to like hold on to what we think is right, because the idea of having lived with this mental model that's so wrong is like so violating and so humbling to realize that we could be so off. So I think you like honestly can't even get to a point where you're admitting you're wrong and you're disproving yourself and learning something new if you're not willing to be open and vulnerable, because to be wrong is like, you know, that you're vulnerable. You're in a state of vulnerability when you admit you're wrong or you have to apologize or any of those things. So I think they're all connected. And then how it relates to like connection and love is that I've been thinking a lot about this. So basically like my current theory is that the most desirable thing is to be healed and to not be like controlled by your pain and your trauma and your like scar tissue that you picked up on the way to adulthood. And the reason that's the most desirable state is because in that state, you're completely open to giving and receiving love, which is the best part of the human condition. Like you are being subject to the entire human condition, whether you want to or not, whether you understand it or not, whether you can intellectualize it or not. Like you're going to feel envy, you're going to feel frustration, you're going to feel happiness, you're going to feel joy, excitement, grief, like all of these things. Like this is just an inevitable part of being human. But if you are too gripped by pain to open yourself up to love, like you're literally missing the best, most, you know, brightest part of the human condition. And when you're in a state of being healed, you're not leading from a place of like fear and pain. So anytime love flows through you, you're open to giving it out, and you're also opening to you're open to welcoming it back into you from others. So being open is like a key part of connection, because that's how love like basically gets exchanged between people. And one of the things that can keep you from being open is being gripped by like pain and things that you haven't like healed or examined. And so the state of being healed is kind of like at the end of all of that, like at the end of like working through the blocks that are keeping you from being open and giving and receiving that love.
Plus one to the idea that what we really want is to be healed. I think that's the realization I've had over the last few years, although said in different terms. And maybe the way you've said it has given me a new perspective or like angle to look at it from. The way I've always said it is like there is this kind of low humming or vibrating anxiety that I have that runs through everything I do. And if the more I poke at that, it is because of exactly what you're talking about. It's all the questions about myself that I haven't investigated and like figured out, why do I feel this way? Why is this my preference? Yes. Why do I have these expectations, etc.? So in effect, it's the same thing. That resonates deeply. The other thing that I wanted to double click on is you kind of espouse this like theory of everything there, which I love, like this interconnectedness of all these different traits or like principles. Is there a meta axiom or meta trait that you have to develop? Is there like a first domino that has to fall to set all of these off?
Ooh,
and
yes.
And I'm setting you off because I have an opinion about this as well, but I want to hear yours first.
Yes, thank you for the thoughts. And I guess like just to wrap that thought up, like the way it relates back to
please.
The question is like, I think I'm writing about like openness and vulnerability and love, because those are like pillars of being healed, which is the pillar of like leading a life full of like humanity. Okay, but the trait to answer your current question, is humility. Because basically you need to be humble, which is to say you need to shrink your ego enough to admit when you're wrong and to basically be open to the things that are like coming into your world. I drew this thing, maybe I'll send you the tweet after, but it's basically like this visual of like what it means to be a high ego versus low ego. And it's almost like if you're high ego, you're this like very closed off little orb circle that has very thick walls. And like, it's hard for anything to get in to your inner world because you're just like so defensive and like protective of yourself and basically closed, like you're not open. So that can be like the benefits of that is that you never have to face anything that you don't generate internally. But the con of that is that you don't get to face anything you haven't generated internally, including love, including like all the good stuff. So when you're low ego, it's like that membrane almost like softens a bit and becomes like much more permeable and things can get in and out much more easily. And as long as you don't grip onto the things that are coming in, they just pass through you and like it's fine. Like the negative stuff too will just pass through you. And as long as you don't identify with it and like literally tuck it into your ego in some way, it just goes. So being humble, which is to say having low ego, which is to like let things into your inner world, is the core trait, in my opinion, to all of this. Because that's like how you evolve. You let things in, you learn from them, they pass through you, you grow. When you're really protective, you basically are preventing yourself from being able to change and evolve. So yeah, that's the trait I would point to.
I think we're on the same page. Mine is awareness, which I think has to be initiated through acceptance or a sense of humility. I mean, this is what's the first step in the 12-step program? It's like acceptance, right? I don't know the exact. You could apply that 12-step program to like every facet of life. But yeah, once it all cascades from, okay, I am humble enough to admit that the way in which I'm living isn't consistent with what I want it to be or who I really think I am. Now I have to cultivate the awareness such that I can investigate all the things in my past that have led to this point and made me who I am, and can also, as I progress into the future, be able to not be so reactionary to the inputs. There's like space between the stimuli and the reaction, and I can assess that and figure out how I should approach it. So, absolutely. I think I'm 100% in agreement with that. I want to shift a little bit to writing itself. Although this is a better transition would have been to talk about the openness and vulnerability and how that's contributed to your great writing. I feel like when you're writing, there's this pursuit of trying to find your style or your voice. That's what people always talk about. It's also the case in like brand advertising and copywriting, etc. Do you feel like you've found your style or voice? And of course, it's always probably evolving. But if you do feel like you found it, when and how did that happen?
It's interesting because I never really identified with this pursuit per se. I feel like I honestly just like write how I think and speak also. Like my friends who read my writing are just like, it's so funny. Like I can literally just read this in your speaking voice, 100%. This is how you would talk. So I think that maybe like the answer is that you find your voice when you like stop trying to voice. And like you actually just write anything and speak, or at least maybe that depends. Like obviously that would work for like technical writing. But if you're just writing to, you know, relay messages that you are finding in a personal way, I think like the best way to do that is to literally just like be yourself. But I will say that like in addition to like being myself, my writing voice is this like fluid combination of like probably some of my favorite writers and people that I look up to, like and that's like very unconscious. Like one thing I've noticed is that I use like a lot of M dashes, and that's kind of specific. Same. But the author of like my favorite author basically his name is Harlan Coben, and he writes like mystery novels, and I've read like pretty much all of his books. And I started reading his books when I was like 11 or 12. And I feel like his writing unconsciously has influenced mine so much, even though I was reading most of his writing at the time I wasn't writing. But just like, I loved his voice. Like, I just like would look forward to reading his new books because it was like catching up with a friend. Like, just the way he wrote made me feel so like comfortable and literally connected to him. Like, it felt like his speaking voice, I guess. I'm now reflecting in the moment on that. But yeah, so I feel like his voice really influenced mine because I just felt this sense of like intimacy with him and his mind through his writing voice. It just didn't feel mechanical. It was very him. Like, I could tell if I was reading him. So yeah, I think people that felt like they were writing in a way that was true to themselves have influenced me for doing that, which has helped me do that myself. And then like stylistically has probably like integrated some of their style into mine unconsciously. But yeah, I think like the path to writing voice is just like literally authentically writing as yourself.
I think the highest praise you can get is that you write as you, well, nobody's in your head, so they can't tell you you write like you think, but you write like you speak. I think that's what everyone's aspiring to. And I find that I'm trying to get back into writing, and the most friction comes from when I'm trying to write in a style that I don't think in. But the editing process always trips me up because you have to, if I just want to write as I think, then this is the forum for that, right? I should just do podcasting, which is actually why I prefer it.
This is interesting, right? Because this comes back to ego. Like, when you're writing as you're thinking, and then your mind comes in and is like, what are you doing? Like, why are you writing like this? Like, this isn't polished. Like, this isn't professional. Like, people aren't going to be interested in reading this. Like, this is way too casual. This is way too, like, whatever your mind is telling you, that is the obstruction from you writing like yourself. So literally, like, not to make this duality so visceral, but it's basically like when you're writing for yourself, you're writing from your heart, and you're not letting your mind like skew and influence the way you write. And when you're writing from your mind, it doesn't sound like you because you've made it into something else entirely, like something your ego could be happy with and proud of and feel like it's like this good representation of you, but it's not real. And like, people can honestly tell, like, people can tell when someone has just like made their writing like literally as cerebral as possible to just like satisfy every egoic question that came up in the process versus someone that's just like vibing on the page literally. So yeah, I think it comes back to the humility point from before.
Is that so? Yes, it comes back to the humility point and cultivating, being introspective and cultivating awareness and getting into the root of who you are. Does it also just come with repetition? I'm trying to figure out, like, can you, maybe if you haven't figured out who you are, no amount of repetition is going to allow you get to that authentic voice.
This is good because I think it's back to what you said earlier, right? Which is like, that humming of anxiety you feel in your everyday, that's a product of unexamined aspects of yourself. So to bring this back to one of my other like big theories, I think a clear mind is a good life. And a clear mind is a product of examining yourself and examining your mental blocks, your psychological blocks, because that's what keeps you from like existing in full clarity. So yeah, it takes practice and it takes self-examination to be able to be yourself, because if you don't self-examine, then you don't really know who you are. And you're just like performing all these parts of yourself that you think others will like, or that will be like appealing. And yeah, it's actually just not you. So it takes practice for sure. Like, everything takes practice. And like, for me, what I find practice does, it just gets me into the pocket quicker. Like, if I'm willing to sit down for 3 hours and like work through all this stuff that I haven't looked at, then like I will eventually get to like the stream of consciousness like level of writing. But if I'm doing that on a like regular consistent basis, like, I'm pretty much always like there. Like, I can just get there much quicker. So yeah, I think it's really just about like solving for yourself, basically.
Do you think everyone has the capacity or the desire to fully examine, and those are two separate things, so we can talk about them separately if you like. Does everyone have the capacity first to fully examine their lives? Like, the vast majority of people go through life, I don't want to say content, but at least not bothered enough to go and examine their own life. And I think people are particularly averse to advice. So there's no amount of like me telling you, you need to go and examine your life that's going to result in that. Do you, and yet before this conversation, we were talking about how we think our generation might be more introspective than past ones. So it feels like there's something happening there. There's like a wind that's changing, or maybe the pendulum is just temporarily swinging in that direction. Are you hopeful, or do you think everybody can do this? Or is it, we don't have to get into free will necessarily, but is it like an innate thing? Like you just have it or you don't?
I think everyone has the capacity to do it, and everyone has the capacity to desire to do it. I don't think everyone currently desires to do it. I think there is like, honestly, just this ascension in consciousness that you sort of stumble your way onto if you do. And on that path, it's almost like unavoidable to want to understand yourself deeply and to understand these things that you realize are not innate, but are like a product of who you are and your unique experiences and like what it means to be human and all these things. But like, yeah, you kind of have to like stumble into the curiosity. But I do think everyone has like the capacity for that curiosity. I think for me, it just like happened really early, and I don't really, honestly, I really don't know why. But I always felt like very curious about what it means to like live a good life, live a rich life, live a meaningful life. Like I always remember like talking to older people, like asking them questions, what their thoughts were on like their lives and experiences and learnings. Like, I just think it was something, at least for me, that like was almost programmed into me very early and deeply, which I can't really explain. But I think as you get older, it seems to me like everyone wonders about it on some level. Like, there's no way we would all just be talking about like what is the meaning of life for literally millennia if there wasn't something universal about that question that we all wondered about. It's hard to believe that anyone doesn't at least have the thought once of like, why am I here and what does it mean?
Right.
And like, how do I use my life well? So yeah, I think everyone has a capacity, but like pursuing that curiosity and like doing the work of understanding it is like a totally different thing that requires like some activation energy.
I always go back and forth on this topic because so there was a point in your response there in the middle where you said something to the effect of, I always had this in me. Like, I was always curious about asking people questions about XYZ. You wanted to understand more about, you know, what it meant to live and live a good life. And I always had that in me as well. It started, I was raised Christian, and like was initially very interested in the faith and then came to question it. And so like, always had that questioning element in me as well. Whereas I have people in my life, I have friends that I care dearly about, but like have never sensed that attribute from them. I'm sure to your point, they had questioned it in the past, or maybe they still do, but not to the degree that I do. And so I've come to wonder if like it is just an innate thing. Like, if your intuition is, you know, personal and unique, then some people might just have it or they don't. And there's like, maybe the right way to look at it is it's like this, if you think about like the brightness slider on your phone, there's like a range from 0 to 100. Maybe for some people that window is narrowed. Like, there's a part of that slider that's locked. You could get from 20 to 30% if you want, or you could get from 40 to 80%, but the whole 100% isn't accessible to everyone. I'm not sure.
No, I think that makes sense to me. Like, I think people have a different appetite for exploration of these questions. And that is maybe innate, maybe just a product of like what your curiosity was met with when it initially sprouted. Mm. Like, if you were able to dig deeper and ask people and have conversations and read things and find things that like, you know, dampen that curiosity even more. Or if you were just kind of like shut down and told that that was bad and never wanted to explore it again. Like, I think those things could affect your appetite or understanding these things later in life. But it definitely appears to me that certainly not everyone has the same level of curiosity for these things, at least not the same level that they present or have like acknowledged within themselves. So yeah, I also think that makes sense. Like there are people that learn, there are people that teach, there are people that don't learn at all on like basically any topic, like any field of interest, whether that's physics or sports or like film or anything. And maybe, you know, the meaning of life is something you could argue is like completely universal and is not really like an interest field that's like those. But I still think it falls into that pattern of like people have different levels of curiosity about this. This is why some people spent their life discussing it as early as like literally we can trace back and wrote about it and created stories about it. And some people read those stories and some people probably didn't even read those stories. So I think there's definitely differing levels of interest. And that's probably like a product of, I imagine, both nature and nurture, but nurture playing a really big role.
There's two more questions I want to get to. The first is a bit of changing direction, but of course, this, as you mentioned earlier, this whole conversation is intimately interconnected. What would you say drives you? What are you, and maybe there isn't a place you're trying to get to, but there's something in the present moment that's compelling you. What drives you? What gets you going?
Learning. And my curiosity, honestly, like I feel like I can't even tame or explain the reason that I want to learn and want to explore things so deeply, but it's definitely the thing that makes me do it. Like I just feel this urge to ask questions and to read and to learn. And I can't, again, like exactly explain why, but I feel like that's what drives me. Like I definitely don't do what I'm doing now, at least from any kind of place of obligation. It's literally like this intrinsic compulsion that I feel to do it. I also feel motivated by the idea that I might be able to like channel or find or articulate something that could help someone else answer a question that they have, or at least think more deeply about a question they have, because I feel like that's all I'm doing is like thinking about these things and like getting maybe a little bit more granular and more clarity and more nuance. And then if I can kind of like help someone, you know, walk along that same path or like facilitate the exploration of their curiosity with something that I found on my journey, like that also drives me. But I would just say, like, if I really had to boil it down, it's just like deep curiosity and a desire to learn.
Same. And I think that's the consistent quality I found in my closest friends and more recently the people I found on Twitter that I have connected with the most, that seems to be the recurring theme. How do you mentioned that there's an element of you, it's not entirely intrinsic, your I'll call it pursuit of truth, your curiosity. There's also an element of you that wants to write for other people. And I don't want it to come across as like performative per se, but like you want to help. I think there's good intention behind it. You want to help people. How do you balance writing for yourself versus writing to get external validation? And maybe the answer is you write for yourself. The output ends up helping other people, so you don't have to seek external validation. But I know I still seek external validation. So
yeah. I mean, I saw this tweet once that was like, you should read my tweets, not, this isn't my tweet, but like someone else's tweet. You should read my tweets, like not as instructions to like you, but instructions to like past versions of myself. But sometimes like very recent past versions of myself, like could be like a week ago, could be a day ago, could be a few hours ago. And I do feel like I really resonated with that, because oftentimes like I'll write either like an essay or just like a tweet for something that like literally would have been useful for me to know 2 hours like before. I just had an experience that I just had where I learned this lesson. So I think that in general, I'm always writing to either my present self or like a very recent past version of myself that would have benefited from being able to read what I just wrote in advance of learning the lesson, basically. So I think that motivates me, just like this idea of like documenting and helping my like self and past self and future self, because also like these learnings are timeless, and the amount of times I've gone back in my journals and like literally realize how many times I've learned the same lesson is just incredibly humbling. But certainly that, I guess, validation or like response that I get to my writing is motivating for me to like keep a cadence of output that is consistent, because I think if I were to just be doing it for myself, like I would honestly feel less compelled to do it and like less motivated to like keep up and be consistent, because it's just easier to let yourself off the hook. And like there's something about external accountability that I feel like universally just gets us to do things that we wouldn't do otherwise. So I feel like the, I guess, response to my writing, or like the way it is received, is motivating in the sense that it helps me keep the habit and the cadence that I feel like just maintains the consistency, which enriches the insights, because like the consistent act of writing and reflecting makes the writing and reflecting deeper and more nuanced each time. So it's actually like this kind of beautiful loop where it's like I'm technically just doing it because I just learned this thing and I like want to, you know, encapsulate it and want to package it well. And like, if I can share it with others, that's wonderful. And then when others are like, this is exactly what I needed, I'm like, okay, well, I better hit it next week and do it again, because otherwise, like, maybe I'll like lose this pocket that I. So it's not that I'm like, I wouldn't say, I mean, this is all subjective. So like, maybe I am doing it for validation and I just can't see that clearly, but it's really not like I'm never posting thinking about like, I'm so excited for the validation I'm going to get, but I'm just like happy that I could keep up a cadence where I can see how what I'm doing is impacting others, which motivates me to keep doing it. Because I feel like if I'm just writing a private blog and like keeping it to myself and nobody could see it, I would just be writing way less, simply because I just wouldn't feel like any sense of, it's really not obligation, but like I'm struggling to find another word. It's like sense of, you know, I guess connection to the people that I'm writing like for and with. It's almost like it's keeping this dialogue open between us. And I learn so much from them, like the comments on my pieces and the replies that I get on Twitter. Like I literally feel so privileged to have like somehow gotten the eyeballs of such brilliant people and to get to peek into their minds and hear their thoughts. And like that definitely enriches what I'm thinking about in my journey. So it's just really this like virtuous, circular, almost like element of like co-creation to what I'm doing, and having other people be a part of it and be able to consume it definitely inspires me to like stay consistent with it and keep up the cadence, even though it might not be like the essence of at least why it started or like why, like where the actual act comes from. It really helps like shape and maintain what I'm doing.
I think that's a really healthy usage of kind of that external pressure as a forcing function for continuing to do the work, but not making them about why you're doing the work. It's a byproduct or a benefit of it. I lied earlier about saying I only have two more questions. Now I only have two more questions. One of them is, and let me know if you want to dip. It's all good. You mentioned that you, first off, I was surprised when you said that you went back and you go back in your journals frequently and revisit them. I think that is a rare quality of people to go back and look at like their notes and their past selves. A lot of people will just write the thing and kind of let that exist there. But you said that it's surprising surprising how often you run into the same themes. You're teaching yourself the same lessons over and over again. Have you found in your thinking and writing that you're more often just teaching yourselves those same lessons over and over, or are you actually discovering new things?
Wow, such a good question. And honestly, it's like the reason that, first of all, yes, like the themes are consistent, the lessons are consistent, but like the reason the themes and the lessons are consistent is because that's truth. Like truth continues to reveal itself and appear in your life, regardless of whether you want it to or not. And it basically keeps doing it until you integrate it so deeply that you either like expect it or like act in unison with it. So I guess it's like when I would write about the importance of giving, receiving love, it's probably like in a moment where I like forgot the importance of giving and receiving mm-hmm. love. And now I was reflecting back on like, oh yeah, like this moment re-emphasized the importance of giving and receiving love. And like, that's just me like continuing to learn and reflect on and integrate this truth. And like writing is an act of integration because like reflecting is an act of integration. And it's like, hopefully you do this enough times that you don't need to keep like teaching yourself the lessons. But to be honest, like, I just think we do keep teaching ourselves the lessons.
Have you found there are truths that you have integrated to the point where you don't have to go back and keep revisiting them?
I don't know if there's anything I don't know. It's so hard. It just
it might
like
be imperceptible.
It's so circular. Like, it's almost like that would imply like some degree of mastery that I feel like the way to like, I was just reflecting on this recently, is that like no master really calls themselves a master. Like, they always embody the student mm-hmm. mindset of like always learning, always growing, always needing to practice, like the practice never ending. And so I genuinely don't feel like there's anything that is so deeply in me that I will never have to stop practicing. Like, I was almost tempted to say, I feel like presence is something that I've reflected on so much and like see the importance of so deeply that I almost like don't have to always like to reteach myself that lesson. But I actually do reteach myself that lesson every single day, because every single day there are moments where I'm not present. Every single day I'm like, that moment would have been better spent if I was present. So I think I'm at a point where like I don't question the truth of certain lessons like presence, but I still need to practice it every day. And it still doesn't come, like, it's not so baked into me that like I don't need to practice it literally. So I think I've come to a point of like acceptance of certain things, but integration, I think, is this continual process that really never ends and is literally like constant if you have the humility to admit that like really we're not masters. So, or at least I'm so.
Eternal mastery. I like that. I always ask the same final question in closing. What's one question you'd leave me and listeners with to think about or to act on?
Who are you becoming? And are you proud of that person? Are you looking forward to becoming that person? Do you wish you were that person today? I think that's what I would leave in reflection, because I think that's the ultimate question. Like every single day, every moment, every action, we are trending towards this person that we are becoming. And it's really important to think about, because you are literally slowly becoming that person, whether you opt in or opt out of thinking about it. So I think being present and aware and active in how we reflect on where we are trending is really important, because it helps you, if you're honest with yourself, course correct and like move in a direction you can be proud of and happy with and look forward to. Like, just literally this question of like, are you excited to be the person you're becoming? Like, that should be a hard yes. Like, you should be, you know, right. And I feel like for a lot of people, it cannot be, because there's a lot, like, we always have things to change and fix and improve upon and habits we can break and build. So just at least knowing what those things are and trying to work on them, even if we're not perfect about it, is really important. I just think awareness is important, and being unwilling to look at the parts of yourselves that you don't like or that you're not excited to see where they end up if, you know, the way you're existing continues to compound over time. I think those are like the most important things to look, because again, they're happening either way. So might as well be lucid and mindful of how we want them to evolve.
Beautiful. What's that? There's that quote, if you don't know who you are, the world will tell you. I don't know who to attribute right. that to. And I think the other thing you touched on, I said this on a couple episodes now. So more often than not at this point, all guests have said some variation of that same question, like figure out who you are. And I think the addition that you made this time, and by the way, I think that that's a good thing that it keeps popping up. The addition that you made that I like is this kind of additional perspective around, are you proud of that person, or are you like excited where you're going, who you're becoming? It's one thing to try to like figure out who you are, but when you reframe it that way, it's like, it's almost a better starting point. It's like, no, I don't know. If I don't make any interventions in my life and I just let things drag on the way they've been dragging on, no, I'm not excited about that. Okay, then XYZ.
The reason it's probably coming up so much is because it's truth, right? Like truth repeats. And I feel like you're attracted to people that are seeking, you know, truth and clarity and all of these things. Like all of your podcast guests just sound like such incredible people and are, you know, actively reflecting so often. So it's just interesting to me that you say that there's been like a repetition there, because it's like I asked you at the beginning, actually, like, is there a theme in the guests that you've selected? And you kind of like pointed out two high level themes, but like, actually, I guess the theme is this last question, which is that everyone you interviewed is thinking deeply about this question and trying to prompt others to think about this question, which is, you know, how do you make your life worthwhile and how do you become the person you want to be?
You just answered, to come full circle, you just answered one of the first questions you asked me at the beginning of the episode or off air, and you're doing the hard work for me. Yeah, now I can say that there's a theme here. Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
No, thank you so much for having me on here, and I really admire and think so highly of so many of the other people you've interviewed, and I'm sure that you are attracting brilliant ears and eyes through this channel you're tapping into.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Isabel.